Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The year is 1971, and of course it's Roundabout by Yes. Now, where do you lie? Where do you fall in on Yes?
Love Yes.
Always get consent.
Huge fan of Yes. But it's you gotta wait.
They grind your teeth down.
Right.
For
out of veneer, right.
For this, like, this, what is movie star smile.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then they put it's a cap and not a veneer. Where they,
well,
they
caps
actually,
are veneers.
Yes.
They used to call them, in Hollywood, they used to call them caps.
I think okay. veneer okay. is like
teeth.
A.
Now
is,
they're called veneer.
It's Mike, a, it's you know a what shit. It is? It's a soft.
George Carlin would love it.
Soft word. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a soft word. It's like, why are we calling it a cap when you can call it a veneer?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Law dog, go here, law dog.
Law dog.
Law dog, don't. Law don't go around here, law dog.
Deputy dog.
Law dog. Ah, all right, I heard you the first time. Tombstone. I could do a whole show quoting Tombstone.
Oh, people would know? Love that.
Mm.
You tell them hell is coming, and I'm coming with it.
I might, by the way, I might mess up all these lines completely.
But that's how you remember them. It's fine.
I'm your huckleberry.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You're a daisy if you do. I have not yet begun to defile myself. Frederick effing Chopin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He does such a good job of looking ill in that movie.
Oh, my. He's fantastic. Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
And it was Dennis Quaid in the one. And he paled.
Get it, so paled, to speak.
Paled in comparison to Val Kilmer's. Portrayal of Doc Holliday
yes.
in the Tombstone shootout at the OK Corral show. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you?
How's well, how going? Are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited because Oscar's showing me like different things.
Even though we began the show the with studio. You and I trading shrugs.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you never know with him.
Who's him?
He has a name.
What's you guys are talking ass about me behind my back?
You were in the room.
No, we weren't. No, it's when you were here. Like at the very end. You said something that I believe was dripping with insincerity. And when I was talking about my camera shot with the blurry background.
I said I liked
by
it.
By the way.
You're still in focus.
Yeah, it finds you.
This is great.
I don't care.
It's like Citizen Kane.
I was
like Greg Toler set it up.
Otherwise, you look like you're in a witness protection program.
Right.
I'm trying to make the show as visually appealing as I possibly can.
Well, we
I'm
asked the listener what that. They wanted, and right. we listened. Love they wanted it. A better shot of you.
Law don't go here, law dog.
Speaking of the law, how about them Red Sox?
Yes!
You know what? How about this? How about, you know what the thought process was? And yeah. I know you don't like me to get political.
Will you give a little background on what's going on?
If people on Capitol Hill conducted themselves like the organizations in Major League Baseball,
yes,
I think we would have a much more accountable government.
Mm.
Alex Cora cheated with the Astros. Looks like he maybe cheated with the Red Sox.
I would say it's 100%.
He's gone.
Yes.
Out. And A.J. Hinch, Astros, gone. Out. So, no trial. No, you did this. You admitted to it. You're gone. That's
the investigation it. Investigation
says you set it up. What if politicians were like this? Where you screwed up and you made a terrible mistake and you cheated and you were nasty.
Yeah.
No, they don't even want to call witnesses.
No.
For the impeachment trial. But when you're a manager.
Bill Clinton should have stepped down.
And that's right. Sad.
And Carl Yastrzemski should be in the Senate.
Yeah.
Tragic, tragic, tragic. That do you know what we're talking about, Rob?
Yes, of course. The cheating scandal.
Yesterday, Alex Cora fired as manager of the Boston Red Sox. One of the better young managers in baseball.
Well, it's only better when you cheat, Mike.
Well, you know what? It's terrible what he did. And yeah. I mean, but look, I don't approve of what Alex Cora did, but
tainted.
And, you know, he owned it. He owned it and he admitted to it and he's gone.
Okay,
and a promising career in baseball is dead. And I will tell you this, that
I think that everything, I agree with everything the Red Sox did, that the guy should have been fired. But at the same time, he was more than just that. He didn't need to do that. He didn't need to do that. He was a promising young manager who really had a way of relating to especially the Latin American players that were playing in baseball. And it's a drag to see guys go down like that. But you know what?
Do you think the Patriots will hire him?
Well, NFL. Not nearly
no,
as
No, of course not, because they, you know, they run everything. They'll fix it.
It's tough to I think and there's people right now that are going to be like, why the F are you guys talking about this? Let me tell you why. One is the Nationals just won the World Series against the team who just was sanctioned by MLB and was found to have used some of this digital technology that's outside the scope of what would be a game full of tradition, which is hypothetically not cheating with digital technology and smartwatches, right?
Yeah. Smartwatches, digital video. Using that to steal signs and know exactly what the pitcher was going to throw and communicate that to a batter. That is the core of hitting in Major League Baseball, is guessing right. That's why they call it guessing right, because he guesses right. You've heard the expression, you're sitting on a fastball. They're now just going to sit on the fastball. It is a monumental advantage in baseball to know. So it sucks. What was done, and it taints the Red Sox 2018 championship, and it tainted the Astros victories, and it sucks. But I will tell you that the instantaneous justice that came down, where you're out of here, dude, you're gone. God, I'd like to see that kind of accountability.
Is it the first time something has moved quickly in baseball in over 40 years?
That's so. The steroid investigation took 3 years.
I know. Yeah. I know.
If not more.
I get the impression they have learned, perhaps, from their mistakes that swept. But I also don't know if this comes from the commissioner's office or this comes from management of the teams. Whatever it is. Bing, bang, boom! It was done, and it's sad. But electronically, digitally stealing information to gain an advantage is cheating. And if you're a cheater, you're gone. And especially in this game, it sucks. But in a way, I was happy that the Red Sox handled it the way they did, and the Astros handled it the way they did.
I don't know if they're going to make this report public, but I'm interested to see if it was, you know, the smartwatch, or if it was a Fitbit, or if they went as far as engineering's like.
You want a brand name?
A program, like a specific program that the players just had that would pulse on the wrist of what was coming. If it was that elaborate, that what was coming their way before the ball was released.
Right. It was
TM Soft presents Win.
Well, because you can program that.
Yeah, I know.
And if that is the case, forget, if you thought Moneyball was a compelling book or a film, this is a film in the making.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it truly, truly is, because when you get caught with this, you know, I don't know the details. I haven't done a deep dive on it. I'm not as into baseball as I used to be. So, I mean, it's just not, it's not something good, but I like the way it was handled, and it's sad.
Do you think you'll ever come back?
What's that?
Will you ever come back to baseball?
It's a part of your
makeup, man.
I think that I will. I think that I always enjoy it. But I will tell you, a bunch of my mates and I back at the end of August were, I'm sorry, the beginning of August, were at the Tampa Bay Red Sox game. And the game, I think, was 4 hours and 30 minutes. And I am a diehard fan. And I was sitting there going, this borders on idiocy. This is not that great a game where you can sustain this, where walk out to the mound, walk back to the mound, walk back to the mound, walk back, get another pitcher, get a specialist, get a pitcher. I think they've got to really give some thought.
Well, they are.
They're
tweaking that for, if it's not, it's next year.
Yeah.
They're going to have a time
limit. It's the
whole
pitching thing. It's the whole pitching thing with bringing the specialist
the pitchers
in and
going,
all that.
You know? Each pitcher that's brought in is going to have to pitch to at least three batters. You can only switch as many times as possible. Like, there are now mechanisms that are coming into play.
Good. That'll be helpful. That'll be really helpful, because people get, you know, you're out there on a Tuesday night and you're watching, you know, you got to go
walk in and out of the dugout.
Day.
Yeah.
It's silly. It's silly. So I hope I love baseball. Baseball's given me a lot of joy in my life as a Red Sox fan. But we were sitting there. It was just so. When I am in Fenway Park,
yeah,
and I am like, let's just go. That's when you know they've made a tear. Because I'll never leave a baseball game.
Sure.
I don't like leaving a sporting event. If I'm at a sporting event, the only thing I do routinely leave would be the Florida Everblades
of course.
I'm with my 6-year-old.
Yeah, because
he watches two periods, and you know, if the Everblades are winning 5-1, I'm not staying to watch the parking lot empty. I'm not going to do that.
And if the teddy bear toss happens,
that's right.
Afterwards.
Yes. As soon as the
missed
bear toss
that.
Is done.
I missed that by going up to see my buddy Fried because the teddy bear toss was the same weekend that I was up in Tampa watching the hockey game up there. But we will see. And, you know, really, we ought to have that same accountability for Democrats and Republicans and everybody that's in our political office to, you know, just get evidence.
Well,
we just have to catch them
cheating. That's all.
Yes.
You know, this is what's absurd
hardcore
to me. And I'll say it and I'll be done with it.
All right.
But you hear them say, well, it's not a legal process, it's a political process. Well, then why do it? Why go through the exercise? Why turn the lights on to do it? If it's not going to be a legitimate deal, you know, forget it.
And a political process, if it's a process, it's something built on almost courtesy, tradition, and procedure.
The Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and so if there is
shame,
even if there is legal ramifications, it still should be observed in a certain way.
Yeah, and but if you're not gonna, I thought that it would be interesting to put that out there for the American people to see. But hey, the Democrats did the same thing with Bill Clinton, so it's political.
Yeah.
Who cares? Moving right along.
Yes.
Let's have some fun now.
I love fun, Mike. I really
do. Let's have some fun. Rob has been talking about fun with music, and I think you'll enjoy this.
Let's have some fun with music, because music's fun.
Thank you, Mike O'Mara Show singers.
Thank you.
Now, we were talking about Neil Peart this week, and I always love the fact that in many great rock bands, the drummer and the bassist really work hand in hand. And bass playing is funny because you don't necessarily focus on it, but it's very important. And
hi, Paul Schmidt, if you're listening. Hi, nice to see you. Paul Schmidt, smoke another doobie. That's right. Be out on the porch smoking another doobie. No, I always
have. Well, I don't think I don't think he's on this list, but Guitar Magazine has.
Would you like to see my the expression on my old bass player's face?
Oh, please.
Yeah.
In the middle of a gig?
Yeah.
Why are they looking around like that?
They get lost. They get lost in the riff.
And maybe a little paranoid, too.
Just kind of like, where are you? Where are you? You know? We weren't always totally simpatico, the point is. You know?
But a great band, I think the drummer and the bass player are simpatico. And
when you riff with a bass player, as a drummer, I can tell you, there's nothing like that. And I always tried to do riffs with this guy, and you know, it never really...
And it was sometimes a success?
Sometimes we were in the groove.
You know, you got
in the slot, and it was okay. And sometimes... the keyboard player, which is the third member of the rhythm section,
he would
jump in and do that. But I had a lot of keyboard players that were like, da, 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 da.
Well, I look forward to your take on this as a drummer. It's his birthday today.
Yeah, happy
birthday, Twitch. No, you weren't a twitchy guy on the piano. You were a good keyboard player.
Guitar World has put out a list of the best bass lines of all time, and I'd like to spotlight some of the top 10 to get your take on it as the best musician of our group.
Before you play it, can I give you my all-time favorite?
Yeah, absolutely.
Flashlight by Parliament.
That's a good one, and I think it made the top 40,
B-funk?
But it's not in the top 10.
Oh, really? It's not in the top 10? Okay, I'm ready, though.
All right.
This is great. This is great, because I love bass so much. If I hadn't been a drummer, I would have been a bass player. So this is
really?
All right, what's this?
Now, this will take a second to get to it. The year is 1971, and of course, it's Roundabout by Yes. Now, where do you lie? Where do you fall in on Yes?
Love Yes.
Always get consent.
Huge fan of Yes. But it's you got to wait. What did he say?
He said always get consent.
Yes.
No, yes, the top bass lines of all time.
Yeah, it's a shame that... Is this what, number 10?
No, this is number 9. I'm not going to play you the full top 10. Play the ones that I think that probably matter the most to us.
Number 9, unfortunately, you know, you have to wait for it. But here it comes if you...
so really great, though.
All right, cue the bass right now. Phenomenal. That's all bass.
And it's not just the playing, it's the way it's captured and the style of the miking of the bass. Listen, that's a very distinct sound.
Okay.
Okay, that's awesome.
But you comply with that? You think that's good? All right.
100%. Like the list so far, Rob. Fun with music.
I love having fun with music. Mike, at number 8, I'd be hard-pressed to pick the best bass from this guy, but this is a good pick from the album Abbey Road, Paul McCartney from 1969.
And now I know why he brought the list in. No.
Really, if you listen, just listen to the bass.
No.
Boo.
No.
You don't think that's some fine work?
No.
Lazy
I love
work.
The Beatles. I don't love the Beatles like you do.
Right.
But
this is the one. This is an obvious one. You just lay off.
I mean, it's a nice melody, but there's no skill to it. You can't compare it to the one behind it.
Do you have anything from Slipknot?
I'd like you to have a Slipknot.
All right.
Around your neck.
What? So it's like boom, boom, boom,
boom. But it's the backbone of
wildly,
the record.
It's a backbone
of the record.
It's a wildly popular song.
Okay, so very good. Okay, so you're not so much on number 8.
Disappointed.
Coming in at number 7, I think you will like this one because this one was really sort of groundbreaking when it came out. We haven't heard anything like it.
Absolutely. That's the melody. The melody is the bass line.
And that's
so
not a common
another
thing.
Example of that. The melody. Yeah. Another one bites the dust. Yeah.
1980, Queen. It's Queen.
Right? Freddie Mercury. By the way, I went back and watched Bohemian Rhapsody. Was it Robbie Malek? What's his name?
Yeah. Yes.
Rami Malek.
What is it?
Rami Malek. R-A-M-I.
Rami Malek.
Yeah.
It's all teeth. It's all teeth. That's all he thinks about in that movie is the teeth. I went back and looked at it again. I had a clearer head on it.
What about the motion, the way he walked, his gait?
Yeah. Well, there's some gait.
Freddie Mercury wasn't that aware of his, as aware of his teeth as Rami Malek was of his teeth, like he always is. With.
Wouldn't it be great if there was an extra on the Blu-ray where it was just Freddie Mercury eating an ear of corn?
Like those guys. Oh, you know, all right, stop the music for a second.
Stop the music.
I have for a long time now believed that we should do, if I was a writer for Saturday Night Live, I would do a parody spot of dental implant commercials. Do you get the dental implant commercials up there that I get down here? Do you get the old guys that where his teeth? No, these are implants, and his teeth are so long. And he goes, and it's always corn on the cob with these old farts.
Well,
it's like, I can eat corn on the cob now. And you know, you never hear what that.
Well, I think corn on the cob is definitely a food that skews older. I don't see a lot of millennials out there
corn
saying
on the cob.
I need a dozen ears of corn.
Cob.
Yeah,
I like corn on the cob. But they listen to me. They put these in, and all of them look like their teeth are 6 inches longer.
Oh no!
Do you think
their
it's like
look
a,
six
is it,
inches longer?
Is it like a porcupine or a guinea pig where they're counting on them wearing down?
There's a British guy down here. He's local, okay? Because dental implants are big down in Southwest Florida. And there's a guy that comes on and goes, "Hi, my name is Sergio. I was responsible for picking out for discovering Prince, so I know what talent is. And Dr. Fusion put my implants in, and now I can see it. And you should check out Dr. Sidder. He's a rock star."
Oh, no.
And you see these teeth that are all these implants are too long.
Maybe they're Cobbin
teeth.
They're
always long. What?
But they're made just for Cobbin, like just corn on the cob.
Oh,
like,
Cobbin.
Yeah.
But Cobbin? The one guy, hold on a second.
I like the Cobbin mile.
Yes.
Model.
Cobbin in the woods.
Yes. I want to build a cabin in the woods when I'm dead.
You know what the best guy to syrup is?
Who?
Log Cabin.
The one guy who is on this commercial that's the golfer that talks about corn on the cob.
Yes.
When he smiles, he said they have a long shot of him just standing up in his golf shirt.
Do we know anybody? I know people personally that have had not dental implants, but veneers.
Sure.
And I know
veneers are different. Veneers are different. They use the
drill down and they
use your tooth. They hollow it out. I don't know what they do. They shave it down. They grind it down and they put the veneer on top of it. These are you pull all the teeth and then shove an implant up in there.
Can you? Is it? But isn't it the same type of science?
It's not the same type of science. It's the difference between gluing a nail, putting a Lee press. A nail on your tooth and, being the abominable snowman where Hermie Herbie takes all the
bounce.
Bumbles takes the teeth out.
It was explained,
and then they put the fake ones.
See,
down.
It was explained to me by a dentist. And mind you, we had had many drinks, so maybe I misunderstood.
We have a lot of dentists that listen to this show.
At that, they grind your teeth down,
right?
For out of veneer, right?
For this, like this, what is movie star smile?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then they put a. It's a. I guess it's called a. Maybe it's a cap and not a veneer. Where they
well
they
caps
actually,
are veneers.
Yes.
They used to call them, in Hollywood, they used to call them caps.
I think okay, veneer okay. is like teeth. A...
Now
is,
they're called veneer. It's
Mike,
a,
you know what it is? It's a soft...
George Carlin would love it.
Soft word. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a soft word. It's like, why are we calling it a cap when you can call it a veneer? George Carlin, that would be the language.
Yeah, exactly.
But implants are different. Implants, you walk in and you look like you've been, you know, chasing Skittles with Mountain Dew mm-hmm. since you were 2 years old. And you have no teeth left.
I wonder if the picture, do they take pictures when they've actually got all the teeth out and you've just got the open holes?
That's what
I'd
like to see.
Yeah, I would
like to
see
the guy come in. This is what I looked like before. I just had the guy.
Yeah.
Because there's just like, and I got my smile back. But they all look like the teeth are too large.
And you know.
The teeth are too large for their heads. And now, by the way, if we get a veneer company or a dental implant company, yes. I'll change this too.
Of course.
I just like to, you know, warn.
We've discussed in the past how my first job growing up was working at a vegetable stand and gardening, right?
Yeah.
Even then, the people that would go ape-ass for corn was old people. I know
old
that most of the
corn.
People that bought corn on the cob, they are dead now because they were old then. And it was... We used to have the best corn we grew and we picked it fresh or pulled it, as we would say, every day. And they'd go ape-ass for it. It's like, when was this corn picked? I said,
right.
This Silver
yeah,
Queen
like
was on the stalk this morning. I'll take
like
12
corn.
Ears. It's like pulling quarters
when,
from
when
the ground.
When was it really on the stalk?
No, we did. Every day. Okay. Every day. And sometimes.
You think he's conjuring that like he used to?
On this morning, sir.
He'd always be the one they'd ask to at young Rob. Rob, when was that pill? That was fresh this morning. Fresh this morning. You
know, of last week.
Mike, at 10 years old, I had the patter down. I'd say, are you kidding? This stuff's so fresh, the heart's still beating.
Oh, God. Gross.
At number six, yeah, Mike, we go to 1969 and a band that I don't think you have a lot of music in your phone is Led Zeppelin, Ramble On.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love Zeppelin, but once again, it's the melody. It's
yes,
the melody.
But I don't think of Zeppelin as a real bass-driven band. I could
this
be wrong.
This is nice.
Oh, it's great. I mean, they're a great band.
Yeah, I don't know if it's top 10.
No.
All right, let's play another one.
All right, we skip now to number 5. And this is Good Use of Bass by Pink Floyd. I don't like Pink Floyd, but I like this groove here.
Yeah, this is once again, a lot of these on the list are songs where the bass is the melody.
Yeah.
So.
But also, this is an instance where the bass has a very distinct sound, very clean.
Why don't you like Pink Floyd?
I don't like Pink Floyd.
By the way, it's also the theme song from two of my wives. Money!
I thought,
take him down.
I thought it's because they like the color pink.
We don't really love you. We want money now.
Money.
Okay, play
all right.
The next one.
At number 2, Mike.
This song is the antithesis of, what is it? Kanye West's Prenup. We want
exactly.
Prenup.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Play that and then play that.
Mike, yeah, number 2 not only has a great bass line, but one of the greatest intros of any song.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex
Brown.
Machine, man. Yeah. Moving, love doing that. It, you know. Yeah. Can I count it off?
Rest in peace, brother.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Pretty straightforward, standard bass lick, though.
Yep, it is, but it's important.
So I can't put that. The one on there that you played, really, that was my favorite so far, was Yes. Because
yeah, the roundabout.
That's such a virtuoso bass lick.
Have you all seen James Brown live before he passed?
I never saw James Brown live. I almost did. Almost
HF Festival. A Nutcracker for the WHFS, alternative rock. They brought James Brown in before he passed.
Did you get a chance to see him and meet
him?
Oh,
my God. Yes.
Was he tiny?
No. He was not tiny.
I thought I was visioning him as short.
And he had, I think, his wife at the time or girlfriend, I'm not sure.
Mm.
And the world comes full circle because she had such an interesting look to her. Do you remember, was it the Red Witch in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looked just like her.
Like wearing almost like a tunic?
Yes. I said, this is a different world. And he walked out on that. He walked out on that stage and played with the Pie Tasters, which is a local and national band.
Yeah.
And they murdered it. And
I think, the day he died, he was amazing.
And I think the kids that were in that arena, which was the Verizon Center at the time, didn't realize what they were seeing. Because
probably not. Probably not. Wow, James Brown. I would have given anything to go back in time. You know what? That'd be a fun little exercise someday to go back in time. Go back in time and pick the concerts you'd like to go see.
My stepfather.
In Rob's case, he wouldn't have to because he's gone to all of them.
No, my stepfather loved watching James Brown, not so much for James Brown, but for his band. Because my stepfather was a guitarist. And if you watch old performances of James Brown's orchestra, watch James Brown. He will occasionally point to someone in the band. That means they missed a lick or a note and they were going to be fined. But you can see it on stage all the time. He was so aware of his band. Like if a guitar missed a run, he'd point at him and he knew that meant like 10
these
bucks.
These are the three like go-to in my alt-rock DJ days.
Yeah,
right.
Seeing Jay-Z perform the way he did, Eminem at the height of his career, the apex. You got The Cure, who I didn't know enough about because I was an alt-rock fraud, and then they went down.
I didn't know enough about them either.
You're like, holy S, this is what they're about. Radiohead, James Brown, and the New York Dolls.
Oh, wow.
The New York Dolls. Yes. Yeah, they mean Buster Poindexter, right? Yeah, all right, very
And, of
cool.
course, for me, Mike, Billy Ocean.
Caribbean Queen.
Mike, at number one, and this is neat because I was able to find online where they took the multi-track and boosted the bass to let you know how truly great it is. Because I don't think just hearing the record you would. 1979, the band Chic and Good Times. It would play. There we go. Sorry.
Sounds like another one bites the dust.
Definitely interesting choice. Interesting choice, but wow. That's great that the bass is boosted.
Isn't that neat? I love that.
Crank it up in your car, everybody. How you doing? Hey, it's 1979. Yeah, everybody.
And not only a great song, but a great TV show.
Good Times with what's his name?
Anyway, so here's the actual record.
What's the actor? The
Jimmy J.J. Walker? John Amos?
J.J. Walker, yes. Dynamite.
Janet Jackson was also in it.
Yeah, very, very good show. Well, that's Fun with Music.
That's
terribly late.
Fun with Music. It was fun. Did you have fun, Mike?
Oh, no, I actually ran out of gas at the end.
That was number one?
That was the number one bass of all time.
That's a terrible
Don't like
list.
The list. Who put the list together?
Guitar World.
Yeah. Who was the bass? Maybe Pony, you can look this up for Limp Bizkit. I remember he for a while now, he was like the hottest bass player around, and he left the band, and everybody, it was like Wes something.
I remember he left the band, Mike, because he wanted to find good corn on the cob.
Good corn on the cob. And he got his dental implant. I discovered the musical artist, Prince. Go see Dr. Schmitter. He's a rock star. He's a rock star. And please check out Restaurant Rescue with my favorite guy. What's his name again?
Robert Irvine. And want a stainless steel bar?
Do you have a failing restaurant? We have to start the show now. So, a good music list. Fun with
Thank
music.
You.
Thanks for the politics. We'll start the show right now. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Jack Crawford must be very busy indeed if he is recruiting help from the student body. Busy hunting that new one, Buffalo Bill. What a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me. The newspapers won't say.
Well, it started as a bad joke in Kansas City homicide, and they said, this one likes to skin his humps.
Why do you think he removes their skins, Agent Starling? Throw me with your acumen.
It excites him. Most serial killers keep some sort of trophies from their victims.
I didn't.
No, you ate yours.
You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your cheap shoes? You look like a rube, a well-scrubbed hustling rube with a little taste. Good nutrition has given you some length of bone, but you're not more than one generation from poor wire trash, are you, Agent Starling? And that accent you've tried so desperately to shed, pure West Virginia. Was your father dear? Is he a coal miner? Does he stink of the land? You know how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars, while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end.
You see a lot, Doctor. When are you strong enough to point that high-powered perception at yourself? What about it? Why don't you look at yourself and write down what you see? Maybe you're afraid.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the fabulously appointed Podcast Village Studios. We love this show. We hope you do, too. It's fun doing it. We hope you join us for it, the Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS to our friends, a worldwide podcast and radio show, all the way from Martinsburg, West Virginia, Detroit, Michigan, Rajasthan, India, Bunky, Louisiana.
Bunky!
Hygiene, Colorado. A little hygiene in the Mike O'Mara Show today. You're going to find out a wonderful list.
Really?
With a perennial winner. Oyster Bay, Jamaica.
I think I know where you're going.
I think you do, too. You read the same stuff I do. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Cornerstone.
Yes.
I just, sometimes in business and when you're dealing with a financial company of any kind, whether it's a banking, whether it's getting a loan, whatever you're doing. I got a home loan through the people at Cornerstone First Financial. And one of the best things about a great company is you get all this wonderful attention at the beginning, and it's competent attention, and it's clear, and it's understandable, and they're professional, and they're attentive. And then when you really don't want them to get in the way, they don't get in the way.
That's
because
the best.
Everything was done, and everything was done correctly. And I am telling you, I've dealt with people that don't do that, but at Cornerstone, they are pros. If your New Year's resolution is to buy a home, listen to this. Housing affordability is at a record high. As of right now, it is actually cheaper to buy a home than it is to rent. Facts. With historically low interest rates and low down payment options, experts say it's currently 30% cheaper to buy a home than to throw your money away in rental payments. Furthermore, with the limited inventory, experts are predicting the spring housing market will start this month. Quit wasting your time and your money. You need to work with the experts at Cornerstone First Financial, whether you want to purchase or refinance. Call my friend Mark Livingstone, and he'll hook you up with Joanna, who's wonderful, and all the other good people. Emily. Plus, with his low-rate guarantee, you can't go wrong. They carry my personal endorsement because I used them, and I just got my very latest mortgage with them. They're fantastic. I'm Mike O'Mara, and they treated me right. 202-625-1221. 202.
I like that.
I'm Mike O'Mara, and they treated me
Mike,
right.
Mike, it's called go a reset. Mark. People want to know who you are.
See Mark Livingstone. He'll give you a piece of corn on the cob. He's a rock star. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or check them out, cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing.
Yeah. You know what else old people love? Old people love taffy.
Corn on the cob. I didn't know that.
Taffy, yeah. I think that would probably be another good thing to test your new teeth out on.
Do you know what they love down here?
What?
You know what they really love down here? Riding bicycles.
Oh, of course.
Three of my mates driving into work today.
That's great.
Now that I take a new route, all riding their little bikes out there. Yes, yeah,
good
absolutely.
For the knees.
But that's good for the joints, good for flexibility, good for golf. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And time for me to get on that pony again.
Didn't you buy a tricycle, like an adult tricycle at one point?
No, I did not buy.
Yeah, with a motor.
Tricycle.
Yeah,
well,
didn't and a big basket.
No, but it was more like a recliner bike.
No, I have a Trek bicycle. Thank you very much.
I thought you were doing something like you rent
it. No, what he did is he bought that I ride in Maine.
He bought a special seat. The bike was rather.
I bought a special seat. The one that you like lay back on, and he would like.
No,
pedal.
He bought
I've
a
seen
stand-
those though. I've seen those that really fascinate me because the guys that are in them don't look all that old and necessarily all that out of shape. They're the sit down ones.
Yeah,
where
but doesn't it
the,
look
the
like
guys
the,
guys
it's a recumbent
them?
Bike?
But the balance.
Oh, out of the control room. Jeez.
Well, of course, we finally hit on something he understands. That and dolls.
Mm-hmm. Pony, what? Tell us about recumbent bikes. Are they harder to control? Easier to control? I'm not sure.
Expensive, cheap.
They're expensive. They're harder to control because you're laying down and you don't have your weight on the front tire. And they're basically for people that just want to lay down and not have
is balance
to
an
lift
issue?
Their bodies.
Balance is an issue?
Generally, you're not going to ride them on like off-road conditions. You're going to keep it on pavement. So as long as you're moving, the balance is fine.
What about Mike. He loves laying down.
What about those bikes that have a real big front wheel and a small back wheel?
Those are terrible.
Are they called penny farthings?
Penny farthing, yeah.
Yeah, from the turn of the century. That's a good-looking bike, too.
Well, if you have any questions about bicycles, go see my friend Pony Boy. He's a Rothschild. I wish you guys could see the commercial.
Can I
swear to God.
May I ask this question of Pony Boy?
Yeah.
The type of guy that bought and purchased and serviced recumbent bikes at your old, I would say, the 5-10 years you spent at your bike place, what type of guy or gal was it?
It was usually the type of person who wanted to ride on like the CNO Canal or generally around here and who... People who
not appropriate for this discussion.
Like,
you're just eager
yeah,
to
what
play
are you doing?
It.
They weren't lazy people.
Yeah, basically. There were people who wanted something that they can just kind of lay down and ride. Like
Why are you so dismissive? You're still working your legs. You're still out there exercising.
Yeah, it's a workout.
Why are you being such a two-wheel?
He's being a dick about it.
Did a recumbent bicycle guy steal your girlfriend or something?
No, I just... the recumbent crowd was a very different group of riders.
Recumbent
that I just didn't,
crowd.
I didn't like them or
can
the
profile,
triathletes.
Can
those
you
were
profile,
the worst people.
Really, the triathletes?
Triathletes are the very worst because they do three sports, and so like you're only like 1/3 of their sport. So they would just be dicks all the time, and they would
explain
ask,
that to me. Why awful. Do you think they
what
were
kind
being,
of a, as a bike guy? What kind of attention do you require?
Well, I mean, the problem is if when you're 1/3 of their sport, they only give you 1/3 of the respect that they would normally give you. They were the worst. They were the
funny.
Worst.
I've got a different theory about
what type
triathletes.
Of respect do you have to give a guy you're buying a bike from?
Yeah. There's a lot of interaction in a bike store.
Yes.
There are a lot of questions. There are a lot of setting up a bike. I have, purchased a bike up in Maine and down here in the last 5 years. And there is a lot of, put your hams down. Put your effing hams down.
How much respect did you give the dealer?
I gave the guy down here in Florida multiple times a lot of respect because they, anytime someone's
hello,
helping you with,
sir.
Rob, let me explain this. You probably, now, I understand you don't understand this.
Right.
But anytime you play a sport or you exercise or you do something physical.
Yes.
There is a
one
lot
size
to be
does not
done.
Fit all. You have but to my, get
have
size
to,
down.
While that
go in
is foreign to me,
right.
That is foreign to me, but I understand
it is.
Respect.
I know it is.
But Pony...
But you don't understand sporting. Pony is saying that this is what I believe. And Pony, you tell me if you think I'm right, because I think I've got it. The triathletes who are, by their very nature, I'm all for it. I respect people that have that physical ability. But it's very difficult not to find complete narcissists that do this because of the time commitment that is required for solo activity is
right.
off the charts. You have to be a triathlete, more than going out for a jog, even if you're a marathon runner, that's much more training required. And I would say the word that comes to mind, if you're dealing with those people, probably dismissive.
Yes.
Right?
And like impatient.
Impatient. We know it all. I just want to get this piece. I know what I need because I'm a triathlete.
May I?
Exactly.
May I weigh in here?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't know if
these men and women that are triathletes are
women, Mike.
Are probably, I would say, alpha males, dominant females, and you've got a beta male, which is in Bone and Pony.
Yeah,
where he's probably like, oh no, now I got to deal with someone with authority that wants what they want.
I'm going to defend Mr. Matthew Bloom here. I get the idea that the people that do. I've known. Multiple people who are triathletes,
yeah.
And I have immense respect for them.
Super nice.
They're nice, and it's a fascinating story, and they're usually very type A, and they're very interesting to talk to. But I can get the idea. It's the same thing when you're trying to give, like, here's the example.
Yeah,
a triathlete walks into Pony's bicycle store. Pony knows more about bikes than these people do, but they're not going to, you know, give him that kind of attitude, like asking questions, because they know it all, because that's physical fitness is their life all the time. And even if though even Pony has the knowledge, they're going to come in there and kind of be like poo-poo about that's what he's trying to say.
Could it be? And let me be very clear. There's a difference between being respectful and nice to the person that's helping you than really dealing with Pony saying, all right, man, move it along. Like, I got to keep it going. I don't need to know about this Astroglide for my chain. I don't need to know. I know all that BS.
Is Astroglide used on chains?
What's it called? All the time. End of the seat.
Whatever. Oh,
yes, I thought so.
So I just
makes getting on easier, but getting off harder.
Because Pony is so thorough. He gets into this box of explaining to you how the gears are working. I've been down this road with him, and I just I throw money at him. I'm saying, just make sure I don't die. That's all I care about. Move along, you know? And then he sends pictures of my kitchen to Rob to embarrass me.
You know what?
Well, you know what? At least you let that go.
Yeah.
I get it. I love my guys down here because, you know, they just know what you need, and it's terrific, and they do a great job. Up in Maine, I'm not sure. Up in Maine, it was kind of like they were hustling me out of the store, and I'm not sure. I bought a used bike.
Younger guys in Maine?
Yeah, younger guys.
Also, they were like,
You see Acadia National Park, right? You know the kind of riders that go into those stores up there? Like, you know, they got thighs the size of the mountain itself.
Remember when I was trying to impress Shannon and we went rock climbing at Acadia National Park? Mm-hmm. Which was really effing rock climbing and not a wall.
Yeah, you have to really know what you're doing to do that.
He was this rail thin that we hired a guy to take us to basically embarrass me and hit on my girlfriend the entire time. And that guy.
Hey, that guy's falling behind. Maybe you should be with me.
That guy. Look, I was the beta. He was the alpha. He clearly knew what the hell he was doing. He was strong. Shannon was in shape. I thought I was. I clearly wasn't. Didn't know how to climb. And it was embarrassing. That sucked. And for Pony, I think that when he saw people like that walking in, being like, I got this, man. Just sell me. But he's trying to explain to them, hey, a new Windows 10 vulnerability just came out. You might want to patch that before you move on with your bike. You're like, I don't care about all that. But
there is one bright side is the triathlete cannot steal his girlfriend.
I got to tell this. Just before we
and
go to
Pony,
break,
I love you, man.
Yeah. Pony, but I get it, okay? Pony, I'm with you, all right?
You're Team Pony on this.
You know what's up.
I'm Team Pony on this. Yes. I have to tell you this one thing. So over the break, I played golf with my nephew who's incredibly in shape. You know, Division I soccer player, jogs, doesn't jog. He runs.
Did he run the Boston Marathon?
No, that's my cousin Ben. That's Ben that ran the Boston Marathon.
He got a lot of athletes.
He brings his brother-in-law, okay? They're married to sisters. So he brings this guy.
Okay.
This guy is a super stud on the golf course. All right. And this guy, really nice guy, but knows that he's kind of an athlete. And he's an athlete.
He's great.
I'm talking about the 21-inch waist.
Yeah.
Super tall. Every muscle perfectly toned. Mm-hmm. And he's turned it into a golf ability.
Great chest, strong shoulders, really powerful hands.
Great hair.
And really pretty eyes.
At some point, towards the end of the round, I didn't say this at the time, but I said, I'd like to get a little bit more distance. He says, well, you got to move those hips. And he said it just in a certain way. Those hips. And I had to bite my lip because this is, my nephew's family. You mean those big fat hips that I can't move because they're too fat? Fat, it's a clinker. Anyway, we have to take a break.
Move those hips.
Why do those recumbent bikes need shields?
Well, because if a rock gets up in the forehead.
Oh, that's right. Makes sense.
And also, if you're biking through war-torn country, you might get shot.
Thank you. Put the machine gun. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Here's Paul McCartney again.
Hello, this is Bernie Sanders talking to you about the shopping center at TMOS. You got the Target.com, Macy's.com, and my favorite, Walmart.com, where I go every month to buy new sneakers. I buy my sneakers at Walmart.com through the TMOS website. It's marvelous. You'll love it. And you're stimulating the economy, and you're getting health care for everyone. All right, I know they're not related, but just remember this. TMOS Shopping Center, Walmart, Bernie Sanders, sneakers. Are we clear? Thank you, and good evening.
I don't understand.
Sneakers.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Honey. You know that honey is sweet.
Yes.
But honey is also a sweet way to save money. Honey is the free online shopping tool that automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them to your cart. But how does it feel to save with Honey? Saving with Honey is like hitting every green light on your commute, because Honey will surprise you with savings. Savings you're not expecting. Honey makes you feel like a princess living in the kingdom of value.
Ooh,
that's poetic.
Love it.
Honey has found its over 18 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Did you know Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, including Macy's, Target, Sephora, Best Buy, and more, and they're adding more every day. Users love Honey. That's why it has over 100,000 five-star previews on the Google Chrome store. Using Honey, and that's not previews, it's reviews.
Reviews.
Mallet head.
It is reviews. Thank you.
Using Honey feels pretty great. Think of it as a little daily victory for yourself. Plus, it's free to use and installs in just a few seconds. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TMOS. That's joinhoney.com/TMOS. Thank you, Honey.
Honey.
Appreciate it.
And Honey, I miss you.
Use that extension, Honey.
So.
Okay. We're back.
You're back.
We lost you for 2 seconds. So you're back.
Yeah, you flatlined for a second.
Yeah.
What's going on? We're having that February, like January thing.
Yeah,
going on.
I think we can make the fact that you're back both ways, because we lost you both picture and audio, but you're back.
Did I get the commercial in? That's
you did.
Beautiful.
You did.
The word, the technical word is a glitch.
Glitch.
Thanks, Rob. That was that was great that you stammered your way into
that
one.
We are clear with the advertiser.
Yes.
Now we can move on with the show.
Right on.
Carla thinks our new house is haunted.
Oh.
She got up this morning, very early in the morning. She was up, I think, at 5:30. Let me sleep till 6. And she walked out. We have a sink out in the kitchen that was running with the spray attachment. You know those hoses kitchen sink?
Sure.
Modern
kitchen.
That go either the regular flow or the spray flow. The spray flow was on. The hose was outside of the faucet, and it was flipping around in the sink, causing water to get on the floor. At 5:30 in the morning. Are you trying to find scary music?
I am indeed.
Are you ever going to find it? Is there a chance you might find it this year? Thank you very much. Yes.
Do you know that someone died in your home? Because usually...
Was that a question or is that... You just stopped me in my tracks right now.
Well, because usually in retirement communities, when people move or sell... It's because someone has passed.
Yes.
No, I believe these people were going to a different part of the state to be close to a relative. I think that's what they were doing. That's
is the different part but I don't above know. Or below ground?
I don't know. You just, like, the way you said that, you made it sound like, did you know that somebody actually died?
The way that you set up this entire transaction, and like, for those of you not within the know, it's not like Mike wants... to spend more money. He's trying to spend less money in his life. So this isn't something that you really do when you're 60. It's you do what Mike did when he was 55 and move down. You basically downsize to compact your life.
What we did, and it's very important to point this out, we have been looking in this community for 12 years.
Mm.
12. Doesn't need the scary music.
So when 12 is a scary number.
Years. Well, the reason we were looking for 12 years is we were waiting for the price to be right and be able to kind of do a lateral move, as you like to call it, in business school.
Yes.
That was the reason. And the lateral move, I'll give full disclosure here, was so wonderful because in 3 days, we had an offer on our house.
Yeah.
And then it went away. It completely and utterly and totally evaporated. And now,
maybe
here I am.
Mike, maybe the offer was haunted.
There I am. Yeah, the offer was haunted.
Ooh.
Damn right it was, boy. Yeah.
So no one died in the house that caused it to sell.
You can't confirm it. You didn't ask that question.
I believe we are the third owner.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what happened with the first people that owned the house. I don't know. But here's the thing. I'm in the shower early this morning, mm-hmm. probably about 7 o'clock. Carla has left to go work out, and she has come over to the old house to fix a few things, get a few things nice, because we're showing it again.
Still
got
to sell
it.
Sure.
We still have to sell it. And I'm in the shower, and I hear thump, thump. And the thump, thump, I believe, was Carla had come in and shut a door and was in the house. And then when she wasn't in the house, I'm like, oh, well, then that was the big thump, thump of the recycling truck coming by and picking up the recycling out front. I look out front. Nothing's been touched. I don't know what in the name of God that big, clunky, oh, God, now I'm just thinking.
Like, I know what it was.
The attic. The attic. Mm-hmm.
It's a ghost or it's vermin. Oh God.
Or it could be a clinker.
It's a clinker.
Dino, Pumpkin's here.
Do you think it is a malicious ghost or, as the Germans would call, a poltergeist?
All she had to do. Look, there's difference between hearing a door open or something click or whatever, and having a hose on a faucet that was turned off at night. The only thing I can tell you is this is one of those weird faucets.
Smart
where
faucets.
You open up the spigot and then you can touch it. And it starts to flow.
It's like got a smart faucet.
My sister has that. It's fun.
It's
very common now in newer homes.
Is it fun?
An upgrade. Yeah, all you do is touch it and it comes on and touch it and goes
off. Great for if you're
crazy,
doing it.
Crazy, because I have
dirty
to lift an entire lever.
Most people do.
It takes hours.
It's not that, Rob. What it is it's used to so get your hands all over.
All right.
Stuff.
It's a salmonella thing.
I'm thinking that maybe it's more conducive to the other side.
Mike, do you want a priest?
What do you mean?
Meaning that a ghost might not be able to turn a lever, but a ghost could touch it and make it happen.
That makes sense.
Oh yeah.
See, I got freaked out.
What about a priest coming over and blessing the house?
It's a great idea. I'll go see my own Catholic priest. I'll go see my Catholic priest.
That
and
is
we'll find
far,
out.
far yes. too vulgar.
That costs
display.
Money, right?
By the way, no, priests are cheap.
It's a little disconcerting, and the combination of the sound. It's not. We got 800 more feet. That's all the 800 square feet. A little more room, it's a little wider and a little deeper. And I'm scared.
When they built the house, what is the year of the house? Because you're the third owner, right?
Oh, 2006, I believe.
It would be easy to go online and find out where they moved the bodies from the graveyard that they
Thank
built
you.
On.
Okay,
also, legally, don't they have to tell you if someone died?
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened back there. It's a little scary. Yeah, I'm sure they have to do that. I'm okay with
Did
that.
You
Everything's
ask?
Gonna be fine. I'm not gonna ask now. I am not gonna ask.
We can certainly
just
say
wonderful.
That no one didn't not die.
Right. I asked when we bought that house. I wish someone had died in it. That makes sense. What's going on with it?
Well, you're gonna be the first house guest. You're coming down.
Can't
right?
wait, Mike. I can't wait.
I hope you get out alive.
Is he telling the truth? Is he telling the truth when he says he can't wait?
No, he's excited. He
really?
Wants to get
a
down
weekend
there.
In Florida away from all this. Yes, I'm excited.
Okay, very good. All right, I'm checking that.
Yeah. He'll be up all night touching that faucet.
Do we have anybody on the staff that is a Dave and Buster's expert or knows about Dave and Buster's?
I've been
anybody
a couple times,
you're
but look, I wouldn't
no,
call
you're,
myself
you're
an expert.
You're looking at one. I grew up going to the White Flint Dave and Buster's.
Very good. We're going to talk about Dave and Buster's and how it certainly isn't Chuck E. Cheese when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
New year, new you, Mike. We know you know love is a battlefield, but what about life? It's why this week on the Oh My Golf Show, we are showing you how to hit your 2020 goals by making a battle board. Plus, we know you like it dirty, but we're going to talk about clean eating and how Veganuary can make and change your life. Grab a plate and subscribe now to the Oh My Golf Show on YouTube and Apple Podcasts.
And she's so great.
Love her.
Like, even when she comes in here like a tornado, mm-hmm. and she's got this cartoon-sized pink flamingo with her. Like,
I mean, literally, Mike, as tall as her, a flamingo.
And she's like this, and doesn't even address it. She's like, hi, and like goes and does her show. It's
she
fun.
Brought
she
it
vegan?
In for,
is she vegan?
No, she's not, but she had a guest in, a guy that we actually had on the show back a million years ago, Spike Mendelsohn. And he's doing
the chef, the famous chef from
DC. And he was talking about clean eating. It was a really great interview. You should check it out.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Zappos. We love Zappos, and we have a great relationship with them. Biofuels will finally be cost competitive with fossil fuels in 2020.
Yes.
There you go. We'll control devices via microchips implanted in our brains.
Yes.
And the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. And 2020 marks the 20th year that Zappos continues to offer over 1,000 trusted brand names to help millions of customers create long-lasting wardrobes that they love. And Zappos does it with the absolute best customer service and a selection that is unmatched, no matter what it is. If you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support the Mike O'Mara Show by accessing Zappos through our website. Click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides free shipping, free and easy returns, fast shipping as well, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you, Zappos. You make us look good all year long. See you in Tokyo for synchronized swimming.
Yes.
There it is.
I think we're going to gold medal this year, Oscar. Oh, yeah.
You know, being an older father, and as Oscar mentioned before, budgeting down here and watching what we do, you know, because I mean, it's the way of the world. Most people have to do that.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and we also, the three of us, love the show, love the entertainment, love to get out and do different stuff. You know, and it just frustrates me to no end how sometimes you run into a buzzsaw of expensiveness where you don't expect it.
And, okay, I'm with you.
You know, so my son, I guess through some of his schoolmates, hears about Dave & Buster's. And I have not even been aware of Dave & Buster's since back in D.C. I remember when we ran ads for them on WJFK, and that's what I knew. I think we ran out and did a promotion there one time.
Solid young date environment, at least as a younger man, go in Dave & Buster's, have some drinks, play some games.
Big deal down here in Fort Myers, Florida, when they built one down here. There was a big, they got a lot of news coverage because they're, you know, because it's fun and lots of bells and whistles. Yes. I hadn't been until he said that. And I said, yeah, that might be kind of cool. It's kind of an adult version.
It's for adults.
A grown-up version of Chuck E. Cheese. It's a, you know, kids can go, little kids can go as well. But really, you see a lot more grown-ups there that are playing the games. Yeah. And I roll in.
Arcade fun and good food and good friends and drinks.
Who's the crew? You and your son, or you and your
son? Just
me
and my son. All right. And I'll take you through the whole experience. We get there, walk into the front door. I didn't realize how huge the
massive
place is.
Big.
Massive space that they have. So there's a big investment, obviously. We go through, and there's some information desk at the front where there's a line. And what do? Because I'm a rube, I get in the line, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait.
You've still got a little Northern Virginia in you. If you see a line, you're going to stand in it.
I'll stand in it. But it looked like it was what you were supposed to do.
Right.
First of all, hey, Dave & Buster's, put a podium up there and tell people what the f*** they are supposed to do, because I've never been there in the last 20 years. Okay, so I'm standing there, and there's a girl, a slack-jawed dullard behind the counter, moving slower than can be. And what I'm perceiving is she is selling little cards to use
packets
on the machines,
yeah.
And that's what it is. And I'm like, that's what I thought you have to do before you go in there.
Put $20 in this ATM little Dave & Buster's card.
They don't take quarters anymore, no, Oscar, no.
Suddenly, out of the dining area comes this perky, wonderful waitress named Ashley, who says, is there anybody that'll be having lunch? And I'm like, yeah, that's what we were planning on
doing.
We're
here to eat.
Well, yeah. Are you going to play lunch and then play games? You can order your card when you eat your lunch. And I'm
Ashley!
Like, oh, Ashley, thank you to the rescue. Would have been good, Dave & Dusters, if you had somebody up at the front telling people what's going on so they don't wait for a 40-minute line when they could just sit down and have their chicken finger and do that. So it's just my first impression. Then we sit down.
Immediate seating from Ashley?
Immediate seating. It was a 3:30 football game, so there was not the football crowd in there
second.
On Sunday.
You went on a Sunday?
Went on a Sunday, and it was wide open.
Gutsy.
It was wide open.
Damn.
Why? What's wrong with a Sunday?
Well, because if it's... So their big thing for Dave & Buster's now are to come watch the games there.
Yeah, huge TVs. I mean, amazing screens. Really, really above that. But empty because the game, first game was going to be 3:30. We're there at like 12:45.
Got it.
And okay. I'm with my little guy. He's in a good mood. He's just a great kid. He's just good to hang out with. He doesn't, there are no demands. There's no whining going on. He gets excited. Like he literally jumps when he's excited and he's so,
aww.
But he sits with me and just like my two daughters where we go over, you know, they don't need to be like daddy, where some kids go completely out of control in those environments. We sit down. Have a lunch, and then order the card. And I'm looking at the cards, and suddenly I realize this is a little over-the-top expensive, like ridiculously expensive. Like, it's not Chuck E. Cheese expensive,
right?
I mean, it's really super pricey, and I didn't know what I was doing. I think I ended up spending like $100 before I left there.
Okay.
It was ridiculous.
So Or did that include lunch?
Lunch was pricey
yeah.
with the cards included that I thought – would be enough for you know, an afternoon.
Sure.
Like going through the we burned through these cards in like 5 minutes.
Sure.
The way they get you is that, especially if you're going from a Chuck E. Cheese mentality to a Dave and Buster's world, is you're used to the price per game to be much lower at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Because it's by the hour. You get an hour of free play when you buy a card. You don't get that at Dave and Buster's. No. You get chips. Isn't that great? Chips. You're out of chips. You got to refresh your card. You're out of chips. And I don't even know what's going on. It's
chips
pandemonium
is fun.
In there.
Chips makes you think poker and gambling. It's fun.
You also forget about the value of what they now is their monetary chip. So you end up playing a game that sucks, or maybe you don't like, for $2 a play, and you're like, well, that's gone. Because you just played it for 2 seconds and it's been $2 and that's instead of seeing, there are ripoffs of Dave and Buster's in the area here locally that you will go to and you'll say, oh, it's $1. I'm gonna pay $1 to play this game. Oh, that's a $5 game, mm-hmm. or that's a $10 game for some reason, like a virtual reality game you want to play.
Right.
At Dave and Buster's, the chips. It's that scale that's so confusing that you're like,
totally confusing.
I don't know how much this costs. Oh my God, I've run out. Now I got to reload this card.
Yeah. Right. A ripoff.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said it. Yeah. There we go.
Ripoff.
But
it's true. If they don't clearly post it and they make it confusing, they are abusing their privilege.
Then a buddy of mine said, well, you got to go on this night, and that's the night where
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, unlimited games, right? Is that what it is? All right, so we'll keep Michael out till 2 in the morning on Tuesday.
That's good.
But for me, it's still not the evolution of that concept has not moved with the times because you can buy these arcade machines in your house that are now comparable to what you're doing in these other places outside of just getting the wings there.
Right,
there's got to be a better way to do this. I just haven't seen it. Lucky Strike or these high end bowling alleys that have evolved.
Right.
Those are still fun because you're going to essentially a boring game, but they have the music, they have the bar, they have a service,
and they provide something you can't do at home. You can't install a bowling alley at home,
and most people can't. Yes, clearly.
Speak for yourself, Rob.
I forgot you got the new house.
And then you have Manassas Bowling. Remember Manassas Bowling?
Sure. Oh, yeah, the lanes. Yeah,
the lanes.
Right. And it smelled like a cigarette.
Village
it smelled like you walked into an ashtray.
Village Lanes in Leesburg, where the last three lanes are so crooked.
But
that
much
you can't
like
roll
the rat, much like Chuck E. Cheese at Dave and Buster's, you still accumulate tickets and then
Chuck
there's a
the
store
rat.
Where you can go in and get. I got only 50 tickets. That's all I got. My son went into the store, and he won many more tickets. You know what he bought in the store? A Tesla. It was really really spectacular. It was,
I was going to ask if, because it skews older, if they had more adult items.
They had vibrators and things like that. It was really special.
The Dave and Buster personal massager?
good time had by all. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to figure it out, but I'll go Tuesday night when it's free.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll take a break and we'll come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Too many lonely songs.
This is Al Pacino. I'd like to talk about the TMOS Yak Shack. Are they doing it or not? What's the deal? Come on! What are they doing? I got the number right here, 888 888- 920-6673. Can you deliver on a deadline? Can you deliver on a deadline? Can you do the Yak Shack? And please, for the love of God, tell me what's going on with this de-aging software. I don't know. I don't even know where I am anymore.
Thanks, Al.
Mike,
he seems well.
A quick clarification. It's half price games every Wednesday, open to close. So it's Wednesday.
So get there at opening, 6 a.m.
Half price?
Yes.
Bye-bye. See you on the other side. Thanks for your generosity. Half price. God.
Okay. Get out of there for $250.
Yeah, exactly. And that means, oh, you'll blow through your chips in 15 minutes and in half an hour instead of 15 minutes. Thanks. Thanks for nothing. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's a good place, okay?
Yes.
They'll take care of you. Tis the season to get cozy and snuggle up in your home. Your furniture should suit your needs, but also feel uniquely you. That's where Joybird comes in. With over 50 fabric and leather options, 3 shades of wood, and over 250 unique silhouettes, do the math. Joybird's got a lot to choose from. The days of settling are over. With Joybird, your personal one-of-a-kind style can match your furniture. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options, plus free fabric swatch kits are available to let you see and touch all the fabrics. And free personal design consultants will help you go from inspiration to creation.
Aha!
Quality handcrafted furniture in a 365-day home trial. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it. Sleep on it. Break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it. Create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/TMOS. See how Joybird can help make your dream space a reality today at joybird.com/TMOS. Go to joybird.com/TMOS and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first orders by using the code TMOS. And we thank you.
News.
Boo. Us Weekly collected quotes from various celebrities about food.
Oh!
Food.
Specifically the food they hate.
Love it.
This is fun. I like this list. Here's the rundown. Jennifer Aniston hates caviar. Her quote, "You can't acquire that taste no matter how many people say that." Khloe Kardashian. Yes, I put a Kardashian on
it. I like you have the finger on the pulse of America, Mike.
Pork. I would for sure rather gain 10 pounds than eat pork.
Yeah, she prefers it as a verb.
Chloe.
Chloe.
Chrissy Teigen. I'm with you on this one. Hummus. Hummus has to be the most overrated snack category hummus. Food alive.
I don't hate it, but it is overrated. Absolutely overrated.
If I see it laid out, I'm like, eh.
Iced tea, black coffee. He tried it for the first time in 2018 and said, quote, "I can pretty much tell you this will be the last time I'll ever drink black coffee." I agree. Black coffee doesn't taste that good.
You know, it'd be great if there was a celebrity named Black Coffee that hated iced tea.
Iced tea. Shawn Mendes, tomatoes. I'm with him.
Why do people hate tomatoes?
You see, I hate tomatoes. Oh, they're the best.
Really?
Yes. They ruin everything.
They do not ruin everything. No.
I like them when they're boiled and smashed
Shannon
into a sauce.
Shannon hates tomatoes. I'm like, why would you
hate
tomatoes?
Especially hate tomatoes on a sandwich.
What about a BLT? The greatest sandwich.
I'll eat a BLT. I'll eat a BLT. But they're not great. And
they have to be
good. What about cherry tomatoes?
And cherry tomatoes are an abomination.
In a salad?
Absolute abomination.
No. In a salad?
Oh.
What about the way you have a salad and the tomato plays with the blue cheese dressing?
I don't eat salad. I had a salad a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. But the tomato with blue cheese dressing is the greatest.
I don't like what they do to a burger in particular.
Oh, it's great on if it's a fresh tomato.
I don't like tomatoes.
You and
I'm
Shawn
sorry.
Mendes, another similarity.
Jimmy Fallon, this doesn't surprise me. Mayonnaise. It makes me want to vomit.
I'm
Jimmy
not a
Fallon
big mayonnaise
doesn't
guy.
Like mayonnaise.
His
like
whole mayonnaise. Show is based on bland white stuff.
I won't throw, I won't give the same. If someone makes a mistake, I'll eat it. Like, I'm not that against it.
I like mayonnaise. I like chicken salad. I like egg salad. Yeah. I like mayonnaise on my roast beef sandwich. I like mayonnaise on my turkey sandwich. I like mayo. Mayo, mayo, mayo.
Elvis
mayo.
Hated mayonnaise.
Of course he did. Hey, I hate mayonnaise. Gordon Ramsay, airplane food. He said, I worked for airlines for 10 years, so I know where this food's been and where it goes and how long it took before it got on board.
Oh, wow,
that's all you need. Kelly Clarkson, Brussels sprouts. Another one I hate.
I love Brussels sprouts.
I thought she would have said she hated small portions.
Grilled Brussels sprouts?
Oh, roasted Brussels sprouts are amazing.
Damn.
She says, I love and eat every kind of vegetable, but not that one. Michelle Obama, beets.
I'm with her.
Oh, I don't like beets.
The only thing Big Daddy grew that I would not eat, because to me they taste like sweet dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. They're super
will
earthy.
Stain
super
your earthy. Shirt.
Absolutely.
And turn and the color your, of your urine.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Tesh.
And the lady that runs that Goop website with the vagina candles.
Yeah, yeah, Gwyneth.
Gwyneth Paltrow says spray cheese. Not my kind of party.
I
think Gwyneth Paltrow would be a fun interview.
Oh, yeah.
You know that? My kind of party.
I think that's actually her nickname on the set, Spray Cheese.
The first time I had Spray Cheese was on Big Owen Dukes.
Like Velveeta?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Like, we just had the big blocks you would cut. We never had this, like, spray cheese. It just was amazing to me. I didn't know.
Did you enjoy it?
It wasn't as good as regular cheese, clearly, but it was something in a pinch. You're like, yeah, why not?
By the way, still can't argue with Havarti. Havarti cheese, baby.
Oh, good,
That's the cheese right now.
I don't know if I know that cheese.
Maddie Masiello, the cheese queen, I have to ask you this. How are you on Havarti? Are you a Havarti fan?
I love Havarti. What's really good is if you fry them and you can make like cheese fries.
Oh my God.
Pro tip. They're thick enough and they're sturdy enough, but they'll melt inside when you bite into it.
Like a low heat in a cast iron pan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is Havarti the one that looks like the giraffe?
No, that would be
spotted cheese.
No, that's
Swiss.
No, that has holes in it.
Well, no, Havarti
has tiny
holes. Yeah, it's porous.
Oh. It's got like Swiss little
has big
it's
holes.
Porous.
Yeah, what does it taste like? Is it tangy?
It's like the best part of cheddar,
sharp?
The best part of American, and the best part
mildly sharp white cheese.
And a little Gruyere in there.
That sounds great.
Fantastic. It seems like celebrities are getting fed up with autograph hounds. You got to watch this video, YouTube, because I know you love Larry David.
Yeah.
Larry David lit into a group of these people waiting for the autograph. They basically get them to sign memorabilia, mm-hmm. and they sell it on eBay.
The business.
He was at the season premiere of Curb Your Enthusiasm on Monday night, especially after one of them told Larry he'd been waiting 7 hours for him. Larry said, quote, "You gotta find another way to make money, okay? Because this is effed. This is effed up. Nobody wants to do this. Why are you doing it? Stop it. Stop this S. It's so effing annoying to do this." But as annoying as it is, Larry did take the time to sign a few people's autographs before walking off. But he's right. He's right. They just sit there and they wait.
It's a great video. The audio is so bad I couldn't really use it for the show because he's very, very distant. He's just so terrible. Cranky guy.
Yeah, exactly. Felicity Huffman's 19-year-old daughter, Sophia Macy, might be ditching academics for Hollywood. She just got cast in an episode of Jordan Peele's new Twilight Zone. She'll appear in season 2 in an episode called Among the Untrodden. There's no word on the plot. The show airs on CBS All Access. Felicity served time for paying $15,000 to have her daughter get a test proctor to correct Sophia's SAT answers, giving her a 400-point bump from her practice test. So, you know, and I also, you know, compared to, it'll be interesting to see what that Lori Loughlin gets for this.
She seems to be handling it so wrong. Every time you see it, even just a shred of her doing something, she's doing it wrong.
Don't underestimate the power of legal minds, though.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think they've lawyered up in
a
very expensive way.
And Aunt Becky has a husband that has stacks and stacks of
cash.
Stacks of D's hot cash, yes.
The most epic Jeopardy contest is over, and Ken Jennings is officially the greatest of all time. He won last night's game, making him the first player to get 3 wins. James Holzhauer finished with 1, and let's be honest, Brad Rutter, just watching.
Yeah, sort of a seat filler, wasn't he?
Yeah. In addition to his nerd bragging rights, Jennings also takes home $1 million. James and Brad each get paid $250,000. Even though he was pretty much a non-factor in the contest, Rutter still holds the record for winning the most money in Jeopardy history with a little over $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Ken is second with $4.5 million, and James is third with just under $3 million. So there it is.
Remember when we had Mr. Frumkin in here, he talked about that guy Rutter and that he was a good combination of skill and smarts, but for some reason, he just never clicked with the American public.
No, and he got overwhelmed by Jennings and Holzhauer. The CDC, I mentioned this earlier in the show, recently released its latest STD data, and a website crunched the numbers to figure out which cities have the highest STD rates. And ladies and gentlemen, hit the timpani, please. Number one, Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah! Woo! How about them Ravens?
Yeah,
proud Baltimore. Heritage, Mike.
Basically every city, chlamydia is the most common, followed by gonorrhea. Syphilis and HIV have just a fraction as many cases. Here are the rest of the top 10 cities with the highest STD rates. Jackson, Mississippi, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Montgomery, Alabama, Augusta, Georgia, Milwaukee, Keeling, Texas, Shreveport, Louisiana, and Indianapolis, Indiana. Isn't
Shreveport, Louisiana is where Jerry Lee Lewis is from. I wonder if that's somehow related.
The study noted the three smallest cities on that list, Augusta, Killeen, and Shreveport, all have one thing in common. Do you know what that is?
Oh, what's that?
They are our home to large military bases.
Ooh. There you go.
I'm sure that's a coincidence.
Hello, everybody. And now a little something, something. 37-year-old Emily Stollard, she's from Tampa. She was arrested on Saturday.
Yes.
She walks into a Walmart for over an hour, then uses the stuff in her cart to build a small bomb.
Hey, that's terrific.
The items she included, there was a mason jar and a bunch of nails and then all sorts of other stuff she put in there. Denatured alcohol, candle. I don't want to give people a primer on how. Here's what she used. Luckily, a security guard and an off-duty cop were able to stop her just as she was trying to set it off in the store. Yeah. So no one was hurt. She's facing charges for attempted arson, firebombing, and a battery on an officer. Apparently, she spit on a cop while they were arresting her. She also had her kid with her. Oh, God.
Come on!
So they tacked on charges for child abuse and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Walmart security also added that her underwear was showing just above her sweatpants. So that's why she was in that store in the first place. Thank you, people of Walmart. Get it? They all look real weird.
I didn't see
weird.
That coming.
You know what? You really shouldn't go, Mike, to the Walmart in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah. Go build a bomb, get chlamydia. Yes, sirree. Lots of fun. We'll take a break, come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, Kenny the Cactus here. I may have spoken too soon when I said I wanted to plan a ticket. Well, it turns out it was a Filiberto's coupon. Well, despite the setback, I still listen to the Mike O'Mara Show using my Google Home. Watch this. Hey, Google, play the Mike O'Mara Show.
Sure, I'll continue playing podcasts. The Mike O'Mara Show, number 2378, Rags to Riches.
You see how easy that was? Google Home has made my life easier. You know why? Because I'm a cactus, stupid! I can't bend my arms! Remember, get the Mike O'Mara Show on your Google Home today. Hey, Pony, how can you not tell the difference between Arkansas and Arizona? One is full of inbred drugs, and the other is Arkansas!
Who the hell is that?
That's a guy named John Crandall. I went back and forth three times
I'll
as to
it.
Whether or not to play it.
The cactus bit got me.
Kenny the Cactus, if you can work on your diction, that's all I ask. It's a good character.
Hard to understand.
And the Google understand. Home does play our show.
It does. It does. The message is valid. The message is valid. And you know what? Speaking of what Kenny said there, if we can just jump for 1 second. Yesterday, we neglected to give the last name of our golden ticket winner.
Oh, and we said we'd do it today, right?
Right, right. So I have it if you'd like me to reveal it at this time, or do you want to bury it later in the show?
I don't think since you've set it up, I think we should dive right in right now, and you should reveal the last name of the golden ticket winner, and then that's it. And then if they don't get
that's
in contact
it, baby.
With us, nobody gets to go to D.C. Woo. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Spiewak, please, will you share with us the winner?
Burnside.
Shannon Burnside.
I wasn't going to say Shannon again, but yes.
Shannon Burnside of Leesburg, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to reach out in the next 48 hours.
Nobody knows.
We'll give you 2 days. We'll give you 2 days
48
to
hours.
Get to us, and that's it. And then nobody gets
Burnside.
To go. And then automatically, because the golden ticket is better than the platinum ticket will be going to Washington, D.C. Very, very special.
That's right. It's in the rules.
Mike, no.
It's not.
They're coming to you.
It's not true. They're coming to me. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's in the rules.
Our bonus packages. It's a clinker. I know what's going on. You got no money, honey. Boo. What you need is a laugh and a sinister pet snake named Luther. Well, skip the expensive serpent and instead grab the TMOS bonus show. Because anyone can afford the TMOS bonus show, you can pay for it by rating the leave a penny, take a penny dish at your Sunoco. Just grab a handful. Mow the cashier doesn't care.
Hey, you better come back here with those pennies.
Plus, it will cure your post-holiday doldrums. What boy? It's a commercial-free, no-holds-barred sixth episode of TMOS featuring O'Mara, Santana, Niza Balios, Spiewak, Jr., Masiello, Tom Hanks as the silly horny guy from The Bachelor Party. I'm sorry, I mean Pony.
That's right.
As himself.
Yeah.
Management regrets the era, and here there will be no nudity. Thank you. Just click the banner on our website, and you'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It's your inroad to the whim load. God, I don't know either. The TMOS bonus show brought to you by Cranberries. Yes, the incredible edible cranberry. Drink it in a juice, eat it in a sauce, and they're just the right size to stop in each nostril to stop a nosebleed.
Is there no end to what they can do?
They're very good. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I guarantee it. Now buy a bonus show because Elvis wasn't stoned at the Aloha concert. I didn't say that. Rob said that. Open up the audio vault for today. This is Wednesday, Jan 15th, 2020.
I say this as I make direct eye contact with you, Mike. Again, cheese.
Cheese.
Yesterday I said.
Cheddar.
Can you leave fingerprints on cheese?
Yes, you were going to. You teased that.
I
you
did.
You teased that for
because
today.
Remember a few months ago there was a. I really liked this. It was a internet thing where people were throwing slices of American cheese on babies' heads.
Yes.
And it was staying there because it's a little sticky and it looked very funny. Well, a new thing now, people are vandalizing cars by unwrapping Kraft singles and putting them on the car. And if it's in the sun, the cheese will stick to the car, ruin the paint, and of course, your car is covered in cheese. While delicious, it is unsightly.
Mm. So they can't get the cheese off. It lifts the paint up.
Well,
or
it does.
Like
it there's a. I was shocked to find out there are some sort of chemicals in Kraft singles.
There you go.
Other than milk. But anyway, in Texas, a car, as they said in the headline, a car got cheesed, and guess what? They caught the culprit because you can leave fingerprints on cheese.
The call was, hey, I've got some cheese prints. I heard maybe you can help us out. I'm going to lightly dust.
This is a real CSI guy.
The call was, hey, I've got some cheese prints. I heard maybe you can help us out. I'm going to lightly dust over the top of the cheese. That's beautiful cheese. The Velveeta is stickier. The Kraft is good. There's different types of prints in surfaces that are malleable or movable. On probably about three of the slices were really good fingerprints. Yeah, they're good. They're not just fine. They're pretty good prints.
Mike, the car has been cheesed.
This is great.
But the culprit has been caught.
Yay! I like that story. That's good.
So, Oscar, you went and saw the Cats movie, too?
Yes.
I thought the Cats movie, based on what I heard and what I've seen, was the worst thing associated with the Cats franchise until... I saw trending yesterday from 1980 when Cats was on Broadway. Their use a seatbelt PSA.
An accident. The humans had an accident.
There was a child in the car.
A child?
Cats have 9 lives, children only 1. Help them live that life. Buckle them into a car seat. No one wants a child to become a memory.
Oh, God. And Mike, the most amazing thing, the car was covered in cheese.
Cheese, Kraft singles.
That's right, with a space age polymer. We are so late. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
That's it. We got to get out of here. I got to go back and measure for Oscar.
Measure.
Show him the right specs and all that. And
the conference and then, as well.
What? The circumference?
Yeah.
And also ceiling.
Yeah. Ceiling?
Yeah, I want the height of the ceiling.
Yeah. Mm. I want to CAD this out. I want to lay it out.
He wants everything.
Well, I'm not going to measure how high the ceiling is.
Also, we'll need your height.
Do you own a tape measure?
Probably
yeah,
don't.
But it's going to bend and fall. We'll talk about this off air, okay? I'll be over there with my measuring tape, for Christ's sake. God, more work than it's necessary. I know I thought you were going to do it all anyway, but that's it. Anything else, Rob? Is there anything else you want to throw in there as far as the ceiling? Should I dig up the floor? And do that. What do you want?
I just want to say this. I have a tape measure, but I don't use it because I was so busy watching Elvis perfectly clean from drugs during the Aloha concert.
Let it go. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Barris saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You're drinking too much, Your Excellency.
Excellency Fiddlesticks. My name's Fred. I'm just a man, same as you are.
You're not a man, you're a bishop, for God's sakes!
There is no God.
News!
Oh, fudge.